Anna's Story, Chapter 6. Anna Escapes. Our story so far. Anna is telling Tommy and Jake about her life as a child, working long hours in a tenement in New York. Was it hard to learn to make cigars? Jake asked. We didn't make them. It's very hard to learn how to do that, Anna said. Even the Bohemian men don't know how to do it. That is a skill the women learned when they were young, before they came to America. Like American girls learn to work in shirt factories, it is women's work. We were there to help the two women who rolled the cigars. There was a man who lived in the building, and a half dozen of us children, and we all worked to get the tobacco ready. There were big leaves, and you have to keep them a little wet, because if they get dry, they crack. The man who bought the cigars would come each week and take away the cigars that were ready and bring more piles of leaves. What I would do is to... She paused, trying to think of the English. Will the leaves have big strings in them? Veins, Tommy suggested. Yes, she said, veins. You have to cut the big veins out with a knife, without tearing the leaf very much. So we would strip the veins from the leaves and put them in a pile, and those are the wrappers. Then the women would have some other chopped-up tobacco. I think the man from the other apartment used to chop up that tobacco when he wasn't stripping wrappers with us. And they would take some chopped-up tobacco and wrap a leaf around it and roll it all up a special way and then put it in a mold to squeeze it into shape. And that is how you make a cigar. And each one has to be just the same as the others, or the man from the company won't buy it. Tommy shook his head. You did that every day? You didn't take Sunday as a day of rest? No day of rest, Anna said. They say don't work on Sunday. But if you want to make enough cigars, you have to work all day, 7 days. That's why she bought me, so she could make more cigars, so she could have enough money. I felt terrible all the time. I don't know if it was from working all the time, or never going outside, or if it was from the tobacco juice soaking into my hands, she said. But your fingers were brown, and it wouldn't come off. And if you touched your mouth or your nose, you'd get sores. And oh, if you rubbed your eyes! It felt like someone burned you with fire. She sat for a moment, looking down at her hands, which were white and clean now. Then she squinted up through the leaves. I came there at the beginning of the spring, and I was there for 2 winters. And then in the spring, I ran away. I was tired of being sick. I was tired of the tobacco and the dark and never having enough food. And I decided I was old enough to run away from there. So one day, I took the bucket outside to get water, and I left it on the doorstep and never came back. Did you just go live on the street? Tommy asked. But Anna shook her head as Jake spoke up. No girls on the street, Jake said. Too dangerous. Too dangerous, yes, Anna echoed. The first night, I hid in Central Park. Then the next night, I tried to sleep in doorways, but people kept coming and bothering me. I had to run away from them. It was very bad, very scary. There aren't any safe places for girls on the street, Jake said. When I was little, some big fellows watched out for me. But it doesn't work that way for girls. If a fellow wants to help a girl on the street, he finds a place for her to stay. She can't stay on the street. That's what happened, Anna said. One of the big boys, who sold men's ties on the sidewalk, found me and took me to the precinct house. I was scared of the policemen, but they were nice to me. They asked me some questions, and when they found out I didn't have a home they could take me back to, They took me to the Children's Aid Society shelter on 23rd Street instead.
What was that like? Tommy asked. Was it like the Newsboys' home?
I've never been to the Newsboys' home, Anna said. But, oh, the shelter was nice. They gave me a bath and untangled and brushed my hair and taught me how to braid it. Mama always did that, and I didn't know how. And they gave me all new clothes. And they had food. Not as good as I get now. But, oh, it was so good then. It was the best food I'd ever had. I got to go back to school, and I worked to learn more English and to read and do sums, she went on. And they taught us other things about cooking and making our beds and keeping our clothes nice.
How long were you there? Jake asked.
Anna thought for a moment.
I'm not sure. We had Easter almost as soon as I got there, and the leaves were just starting to change when they told me I was going on the train.
One morning, they brought me a suitcase for my clothes, and they told me I was going to live out west. And they took me to the train station with some other kids, and we all got on the orphan train.
This podcast has been a reading of Anna's story, written by Mike Peterson, read by Mary Miller. This production was sponsored by the New York News Publishers Association Newspaper and Education Program and funded by the New York Newspapers Foundation and the New York State United Teachers, 2010.